We're wrapping up a series right now. If you're just joining us today, welcome here. If this is your first time in church or in this church, welcome here. My name's Evan. I'm the lead pastor here. And we're really glad that you found space. You made it here. You got in your seat. And we're just glad that you get to take part with us today. But this is the sixth and the final sermon that we're doing out of the Send Me series. We started this series and we ran this series really believing that God wanted to speak to us about being active Christians, sort of allowing him to move us, not just allowing him to cause us to think differently or our hearts to feel differently, but that he would actually allow our feet to move and our hands to reach and our voices to speak what we're meant to do. Christianity has always been active. It's never been just about a thought process or a set of rules or laws. It's always been active relationship with God moving us into actively engaging the world. And so we looked early on at this moment where this prophet named Isaiah was in the throne room with God. And when he was, he realized, I'm not a clean guy. I haven't lived a perfect life. And God made him righteous right in that moment. Right then, he said, no, you're okay, you're clean. And then in that moment, God said, but who will go for me to all the world? Who will go for me? And Isaiah standing there says, I will go, send me, I will go. And we've talked along the way about we don't actually necessarily know where we'll go when we say we'll go for God. We don't necessarily know where he's sending us to, but we just want to have a position of being recognizing wherever we are, we're sent. Wherever we're at, God has purpose for us and plans for us and vision for us and dreams for us. In that moment, he wants us to be ready to go anywhere else as time goes on. We heard from Jason, who's planting a church in Surrey with his wife Kelsey and their family. We're really excited about that. We heard from Compassion that was talking about a global need for us to go and be part of that. By the way, we that day Northgate adopted 27 kids from around the world to bless and take care of. It's amazing. And last week we started talking about this valley for us. Here, we're here. You know, we're part of this place. We're meant to do something here. That we don't want to be a church that exists on the corner of Cumberland and Burgess that just sort of is there. And there, I don't know, it's a building. I'm not sure. We want to have a presence here that we actually impact the city. That the city looks different because we're here. Our neighborhood feels differently because we're here. But last week we said, sometimes when we're doing good deeds in the city and we're saying Jesus is doing this and Jesus is accomplishing great things, people will start to say, we like your good deeds, but we don't want to hear about your Jesus. And last week we talked about the idea that Jesus actually said, you can't stop pointing your good deeds towards me. You can't stop doing good things and telling people it's from me, because you lose your saltiness at that point. You lose the flavoring that you're putting on the gospel at that point. That God has actually given us the opportunity to help people taste the gospel, receive the gospel in a good way, receive his message in a good way. And he says, when you just go around and do good deeds, you're not actually flavoring the gospel at all. You're not bringing Jesus there at all. You're doing some good things, but what I really want is relationship with people. And so we shared that last week. Talked about how sometimes we shy away from telling people that we're motivated by Jesus, and we just do the good deeds because that's kind of nice. That we don't want to be practical without being spiritual. But I told you that this week we were going to talk about the fact that we don't want to be spiritual without being practical either. We don't want to get stuck in a place where we get swept up in these spirit highs where we just read the Bible and pray and engage our inner healing journey and dig on deeper and deeper and into ourselves and peel back all the layers, allow God to reveal our heart, and then never do anything for the city. We don't want to become real spiritual people that aren't practical. In fact, Jesus is saying the same thing, that you're not salty if you're practical and not spiritual, but you're also not salty in this world if you're spiritual and not practical. That the story that people hear about Jesus comes from what we are doing, not what we're saying. People who are going to discover about Jesus, discover about him through our actions. What is Jesus all about? They're going to look to you and say, well, what do you do? You follow Jesus, don't you? Where does he lead you? What does he do through your life? What do you accomplish because you're following him? Where does he take you? What does it cost you? Tell me what Jesus is all about. What's he passionate about? I'll look at your life and find out what is it that he's passionate about, because we all know that you can tell what someone believes by the way they behave. If people serve others and take care of others and look after, they must think that others are valuable and worth their time. And so maybe that represents Jesus a little bit. See, people probably learn about Jesus less by what you say and more by what you portray. Come on. Yeah, that took a second, but I like that. That took some time. Let me say that again. That's a good word there. People probably learn about Jesus less by what you say and more by what you portray. That you, I think you try a third time, because that went up a little bit, and then we're going to try one more time. People probably learn about Jesus less by what you say and more by what you portray. Come on. If we did it one more time, it'd be a standing O, so we're not going to go there just yet. We're just going to leave it alone. Let's just carry on. But it's true that the world looking around, if someone wants to know about who is Jesus, they're not going to go, probably not going to try to read the Bible. You crack open the Bible, you don't know where to go. Some people might try to pray. Most people are going to say, if I want to know about Jesus, show me one of his followers. Show me what they're doing. Show me how they're acting. Show me what they're accomplishing. Or show me the church they're a part of. What's that church doing together? What are they accomplishing together? Because then I will know what Jesus is all about. That's why it sort of irks me when, you know, you have people who are living sort of crazy lives and don't seem to care about anyone, living in their own riches. I'm thinking about like basketball stars or movie stars or things like this sometimes. And you never hear about any positive that they're up to. You always hear about a lot of negative that they're up to. You never hear about them caring for others. You hear about their big houses and all the stuff they have for themselves. And then they win an award at some show. And they say, well, first of all, I just need to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're like, no, don't say that. Because everyone's going to look at your life and say, that's what Jesus is all about. Because they're not going to hear your words like they see your actions. They can't hear the gospel through your words and then look at your life and try to break it apart and say, well, probably that's not Christian. That is. No, they're going to look at your life and say, all of this must be Christian because they say they confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so us as a church, as a people of God, are going to be seen as representing Jesus. Whether we like it or not, we're telling a story about Jesus. If we do nothing for the city, people think Jesus wants to do nothing for the city. If we care for one another, people think we should be caring for one another. If we care for the person who's outside of our current influence, then people think that Jesus cares about people outside of this current influence. If we care for the poor, people will think Jesus must care for the poor. If we do nothing for the poor, people will think Jesus must do nothing for the poor. Whether we like it or not, this church is telling a story to unbelievers about who Jesus Christ is. James 2:14-17 says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? In other words, if someone is spiritual but not practical. If someone is good at praying and reading the Bible but does nothing for anyone else. Claims to have faith but has no deeds. Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well-fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? You know, the medium that has created this system more than any other system in history, I think, is Facebook. You know, someone writes up on Facebook, hey, I'm broke, I'm not doing well, I'm hurting, or whatever it might be, and people say, thinking about you. Feel better, you know? Okay, I'm still hungry. Thinking about that too. Thanks for the specifics. I'll keep thinking about it over and over because now I really know how to think about you, and that's going to be really good. There's nothing. This is what James says. This is of no value. What good is it? Is it of any good? We all know that that's not of any good. Christians take that one step further and we say, praying for you. And that's a good step. But still, I wonder how many people are tired of Christians saying, hey, I'm praying for you, but I'm not going to do anything for you to help your situation or to help what you're walking through or what you're facing or what you're challenged with. Sometimes we think that we've done the spiritual thing, so we're covered, we're good. But the salt in this world can't be practical without spiritual. It also can't be spiritual without practical. We need to step into both. And so James finishes off and says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. And when I read that verse, I'm often thinking about myself. You know, okay, if I don't do something with my faith will die. Or maybe my faith is already dead. If I don't do something, then maybe my faith is already dead and I need to do something and I'll revive my faith. But this week, as I was thinking about the announcement we've gotten, as what we're trying to move into as a church, as I've been considering some of these things, I wasn't just thinking about my own faith. Is my faith dead if I don't act? But instead, I was thinking about what is the perception that the world has? Is our faith dead if we're not doing something in the Comox Valley? Is our Jesus dead in their mind if we're not doing something in the Comox Valley? They look and say, well, they have faith, but no deeds. Would the world look in the same way and say, that faith must not have any relevance today. That faith must not be doing anything today. That faith must not be accomplishing anything today. I think we need to stop just thinking about it as our own thing. And so my own personal journey needs a little bit of reviving and a little bit of hope. But instead, let's start to look at what is the world seeing when they look at this church at Northgate in the Comox Valley, ready to serve the Comox Valley. When people look at us, do they see faith and deeds, or do they see just faith? And if they see just faith, then James says it's dead. And the world looking on will say, that's a dead faith. It's not relevant anymore. It doesn't matter to anyone anymore. It's not impacting anyone anymore. The world will not be changed by that faith. So let's leave that faith alone. But when the church gets filled with faith and deeds, all of a sudden people say, there might be some impact coming out of that place. There might be some change that could move on out of that place. I really want the church to get back to a place where the church is thriving enough that it's able to offer the social needs and care for people in the greater ways than the government has taken over from us. Now, the government is the greatest resource to everyone. No one's going to look and say the government is dead. They criticize it. They're not happy about it. But the government is taking care of a lot of people. I want people to look at the church and say, there's got to be a living Jesus behind those people who have a living faith because their faith is moved to action and the Comox Valley is feeling it. That's what I want. I want that for this church. I want to experience that for this church. And not only that, but I actually know for a fact you want the same. Oh, we are an exciting church. I love being part of this church. If you're new here, you found a good place. Welcome here. You've made a very good choice today. In fact, we'll be talking about choices the next few services. Next week, we're starting a series. I think you're going to like this one, Pastor Daniel. We're starting a series called Pro Tips from Proverbs. Come on. You like that? Usually it's actually said Proverbs, but that didn't work that well with my flow, so pro tips from Proverbs. Anyways, so we're going to be talking that one through about choices, but you've already made a great one if you're part of this church. If you're here, you're part of a vibrant and living church, I believe. And I've known that ever since I came here, from the very first time I showed up here, it was 3.5 years ago that I came for the first time to this church. I knew right away that this church cares about the Comox Valley and they care about the poor. They want to look after those who are broken. They want to look after the marginalized, the ones who are outcasted, the ones who are outside of what otherwise is accepted as normal. They want to look after the sick and the hurting and the broken. This church has that in its DNA. It's who we are. It's who you already are. When I showed up to this church, I knew that for sure. I was amazed when I showed up to this church that we have a free store. Anyone, is anyone pumped that we have a free store at this church? Isn't that awesome? Maybe you didn't even know that, but right out back, we've got a store that 3 days a week opens up and people come and get free clothes, free anything that they need from people who volunteer their time for free and just serve. I love that. To me, that's a bragging point to my other pastor friends. Like, hey, what are you guys doing for the poor and broken? Oh, yeah, well, we feed them sometimes. We give them sandwiches. I'm like, we've got a free store. You know, we sort of have something like that. No, 3 days a week, it's open, and people come in. It's a free store. Like, I'm pumped on that. It's awesome. And we also have soup and sandwich. Does anyone know soup and sandwich? Come on. Come on. If you didn't know, every single week, every single Saturday, we serve up to 150 people in need in this community. We serve them every single week. That's also a pretty amazing point as this church. You know, every week, those who have needs, those who are hungry will be fed because we exist. That's an amazing thing to be a part of. I love that. But right when I came here, I realized that people love soup and sandwich. People love taking care of the needs of those who are most needy in our community. But I also knew right when I came here that we had a lot of needs if we were going to take care of those needs long term. I recognized that really early on. People were saying, we love doing soup and sandwich. And in fact, we have, it was one of our biggest teams in the whole church. We have up to 70, 80 people serve once every month so that people can be fed. That's pretty amazing that in this size of church, we got 70, 80 people that are serving in there on a regular basis. That's amazing to be a part of that. And so, but when I came on, I realized we're going to have a lot of needs for this place because things were breaking down. Things weren't looking good. I had several people who served at Soup and Sandwich say, we're going to need a new oven. We're going to need a new fridge. The plumbing's not working well. We're not going to be able to do this, and we need to do this. All of this stuff was going on at that time. And at the beginning, when I came to three and a half years ago, I looked at our finances. That's part of my job as the pastor of this church. And I'm like, sorry, we can't do it. We can't do anything about that. So we're just going to have to work with what we've got and try to figure out what we're doing and try to serve the community as best we can. And our incredible volunteers flexed and tried and worked with it and did what they could and everything. But what I feel like the story that people are seeing about Jesus, that people are reading about Jesus through our actions as a church is this: Jesus loves the poor. He loves taking care of needs. He loves feeding people. But he's getting pretty tired. And he doesn't have enough supply to meet the needs of the poor. And he can't carry on forever because he's wearing out. That's what our practical situation says about our Jesus. He loves the poor, but he's having a hard time serving them. Well, I'm really excited. Because the big announcement that we have as a church to make today, the big thing we're pushing for, the big thing that we get to launch into is something that meets the needs of our community, something that is based on our needs and for serving the city. It's something that tells the story of Jesus like no other ministry of this church, like no other room of this church. We get the opportunity this year, and we're moving into it. We're going for it. We're going to redo the kitchen here in North. Come on, isn't that awesome? That's good news. That's good news. I don't think there's a room in this building that tells the story of Jesus more than that room. You know? Like, I couldn't stand in front of you and say, we're going to redo my office. And people get the same reaction. People are like, oh, that affects one person. This affects the whole city. The story, by the way, if you want to redo my office, you're welcome to, but the whole city is impacted by this story. There's nothing else that the city talks about more about Northgate who don't know us than they serve the homeless. They take care of the needs of people who have needs. And I love that we're in a place that we have a facility, we have volunteers, we already have a reputation in town, we have people coming here, we're caring for them, we're loving them. It's already all in place, and all we've got to do is redo the kitchen. I really believe God is calling us into something special right now. In fact, this morning as I was praying for this, I felt excited like I haven't felt in a while. And not an excitement about, oh, some new stuff. It was an excitement about what could happen in the revival of hearts and revival of the city through a practical investment into a room in our building. And I really feel like as we take that step, as we move forward that way, as we take hold of what God is asking of us in this practical way, I feel like there's spiritual breakthrough on the other side of that. God's not looking, God's not just like, if you give me spiritual stuff, I'll give you spiritual stuff. He's saying, would you invest in what I'm doing? Would you pour out yourself into my kingdom? Would you pour out your life into what I'm trying to accomplish? And as you do it, I will accomplish it how I want to accomplish it. And you can expect that you're going to see things change and lives change and this city change, and I'm believing for it together. So I want to get a little bit more practical with you for a moment. Some of you grabbed one of these on the way in. If you didn't, then you can grab one on your way out if you want. But we are putting together a kitchen campaign. We're doing it. We're going for it. Our national board of Foursquare Canada is behind us. We're believing for what we're trying to accomplish here, and we're believing that the story of Jesus needs not to be about a dilapidated kitchen that is trying to serve people, but about a thriving ministry, a thriving kitchen with thriving volunteers who are ready to serve the needs of this city, just as Jesus was. That the story that will start to be written is that the church of Jesus Christ is alive and cares about the needs of the city, and not only cares about the needs of the city, but is represented by the God and is representing the God who has all resource and has everything needed to accomplish everything that needs to happen in this city. We're here because we represent Jesus, and he loves this city. He loves the Comox Valley. He loves the needy and the broken. He cares about them. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start walking through this thing a little bit with you. I'm going to tell you just a bit about this, and then in a minute here, I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to give you some cards that you can write how you'd like to be involved financially in this process. Then we're going to have a moment of prayer, and then we're going to hand those in. We're going to celebrate, and we're going to go out and expect that God is doing some great things. So let me walk you through this really quickly. First of all, I'm about to show you, and when you open this, you'll get to see it. On the first page of this thing is the rendering that we've drawn of what the kitchen will look like in hopefully about 5 months. So check it out right here. Come on. That's our kitchen. You might be like, oh, no, that's a picture off the internet. That's literally our kitchen. That's the footprint that we're building, that we're creating, that we've already developed, that we're working with architects on and engineers on. This is what our kitchen will get to be. This is what we get to serve the neediest in our city from. It's an incredible opportunity that we have. But we really believe it's more than a kitchen. We really believe that there's something more than just God. We're putting a kitchen in. We really believe that God is changing lives through this, not just by filling their tummy, but by filling their heart, by changing their heart, by grabbing hold of who they are and identifying them with himself and pulling them into Jesus. I really believe this is one of the greatest things we can do towards revival here. But we believe it's more than a kitchen, but that also means that we have expanded the project to fit what we think makes sense. We're going to do this right if we're going to do it. I've spent weeks and weeks and weeks. At the AGM back in March, we said we're going to build a kitchen this year. We want to do it. And back then, I started wandering the building and standing in the kitchen and praying and waiting and trying to think. And a while back, we had the health inspector come and say, you can't do certain things that you're doing. You need a sink to be put in here. And all of a sudden, we had to rethink a few things. And as we started considering how we'd revamp the kitchen, we started realizing that some of our layout just wasn't working. I wanted to be in a place where we could be able to decide in 20 years, whoever's leading this church, I want them to say, I'm glad they didn't take shortcuts. I'm glad they didn't do it partway. I'm glad that they decided to go full in for that, because when they did, it meant that we can still continue to grow with this. I want our kitchen to represent a growing vision for this Comox Valley, a growing vision for this church, because we are a growing church. So that's what we're trying to do. So we decided that part of that process, and I'll walk you through it really quickly, what it's going to look like, because we can show a little map here. All of the blue and gray are rooms that will be affected by this project. And so when we said kitchen, well, eventually we said we need a bigger kitchen. We need to create the serving space right out of there that is all coordinated there, can serve the multipurpose, can serve the lobby, can serve the sanctuary even. And so we're going to blow it out into the nursery and into the hallway. Doing that is going to create a little janitor's closet that means that we can take the janitor's closet from three different spaces in this building currently and fit it all in one. So when we do that, we're going to move then the nursery down to where the library and junior A classroom are. We're going to move those two rooms into the multipurpose on this side of it, right off of the lobby. Then we're going to have storage on top of there and the rest of the multipurpose room. We're going to blow out the serving kitchen and we'll have exterior doors right there, which makes it easier for functioning, easier for usage, and much more just functional for the whole building. So not just a kitchen, but all of this is going to happen because we want to do it in a way that 20, 30 years down the road, we say, we're so glad that that's the way we did it then, that we didn't sell ourselves short or sell Jesus short, because I believe God's calling us into faith in this. He's calling us to believe for what can happen here, not just to think that maybe we can band-aid something up, but that we would have a space that looks like Jesus is providing and Jesus is changing hearts and that people are investing in. So that's what we're doing. That's what it's going to be looking like. It's incredible. And I really believe that it's within reach for us. I believe it's worth it for us to push for this. I really believe that God is compelling our hearts, will compel our hearts to get behind this together. There are a few things that I think God wants to do through this process. One, I think he wants to care for the needs of the city, tell his story through us. Two, I really believe that God is gonna be calling us together. More than anything this morning, I was feeling that God is gonna be calling us together as we step into this. That this isn't one person's job. This isn't one group's job. This isn't one, the pastor's job or the people who have the most money in the church or whoever. This is all of us. This is us together being the church that represents Jesus and tells the story of Jesus to the Comox Valley. And so this then is something that we're all going to be a part of. We're all going to jump in, which makes it within reach. You know, 2.5, 3 years ago, when people started telling me that our kitchen wasn't doing well, I recognized that we didn't have a whole lot of money to invest in it. Now, just so you know, out of our general operating budget, we get to put $75,000 right off the bat right into this project. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome that we get to do that. I love that. But the other thing is, then I would have been thinking about 250 people and how can we get that many people to try to think of this, the scope of this project. Now I get to think of 550 people who show up every Sunday here to Northgate and what can we accomplish together for this project. Isn't that great? So what are we going to do with a doubled church, you know? What are we going to do with twice the size of church? Well, we're going to do everything that God calls us to. And so together, we're believing for $300,000. We're believing that God can do this. Come on, yeah, let's clap for that. Let's go for it. Oh, we can get timid sometimes and say, whoa, wait, I don't have $300,000. You shouldn't have $300,000 for this project because it's not yours, it's ours. And we're going to do it together. We're going to accomplish something together. At the end of the day, someone's going to say to us, wow, your God must be living because he was able to do that with you. He's able to accomplish that with you. So this is what we're going to do. We've got some interns and some team around who are going to hand out some pledge cards. And making this within reach means that all of us jump on board. Worship team, you can come on up. I want those pledge cards to come out to you. If you say, you know what, I got to be a part of this. I'm part of this church. I want to see this happen. I want to share the story of Jesus to the Comox Valley through this kitchen. If you say, I want one of those pledge cards, I want to be involved in either big ways or small ways, would you just raise your hand so they can get one in your hand right now? They can come and put one in your hand. You're going to say, I want to jump on board. Or maybe you just say, I'm not sure. I think I want to jump on board. Or I just want to hold that and pray over it. Just raise your hand. Let them put one in your hand. Doesn't mean it's already filled out. It means that you're saying, I want to think about this. I want to pray about this. Something is stirring in my heart. Just keep your hand up nice and high so they can see you and get it in your hand and share that that with you right now. And what I have... When you get this booklet on your way out, you're going to see a little breakdown. And the breakdown on the way out, you'll see, says that I'm believing for a few, we're believing for several one-time significant gifts. Some of you in here are saying, you know what, I actually do have some significant amount of money I could put towards this right now. Well, praise God. Who's to say that God hasn't put that in your hand for such a moment as this? That he hasn't given that to you for this very moment. And so here's what we're believing for. I'm believing that there's going to be one person who hears this message today at church that has $20,000 that they say they can give even right now. Two people that say they have $10,000. By the way, one of those came in right after the first service that came and talked to me. $10,000 right after the first service. Boom, in it came. Three people who say, I have $5,000, I could do that. Four who say, I have $3,000. Five who say, I have $2,000. If we do that, all of a sudden, we will have $150,000 with the general operational budget that we're using, $150,000 with just those gifts. But then I'm believing that after that, I have a number. I want to see 200 different people pledge to give to this thing. I'll see 200 people who will say, I will give for the next 6 months a certain amount. I will pour out myself for the next 6 months. Maybe it's not going to be in huge ways. Maybe you feel like I'm running on a tight pension, or maybe I'm a student, or whatever it might look like, and you can't get a whole lot done. Well, I've created space for people who can't get a whole lot. Some of you say, I can actually give a decent amount. I'm feeling like I've got some room in my budget right now, and you're able to. Some of you today, it's not going to be about room in your budget. It's going to be about the stretch that you're meant to have, the pinch that you're meant to feel. Maybe God is saying to you, hey, I know it's going to hurt for a little bit, but will you pull back on this thing so you can be released into this and watch how I bless your life. So I'm looking for 20 people who say, I could give $300 a month for the next 6 months. For 40 people who say, I could give $200 a month for the next 6 months. 60 who say, I could give $100 a month for the next 6 months, and 80 who say, I'll give 50 a month for the next 6 months, just for 6 months. If we had 200 people who would give that way, all of a sudden we would, with the one-time givers, with the operational budget, with the pledges from us together, as 200 of us come together, maybe more of us, and maybe some of you want to give 500, 1,000 a month. I don't know what you have able for you, what you're capable of, what God wants to release in you. But if we would do that, all of a sudden we get to do this project, and the story we start to tell about Jesus Christ to the Comox Valley, when people look in and say, how are they taking care of the needy? We're giving the needy an incredible experience. We're loving them, we're caring for them, and we're caring for them with the provision that our God, who is alive and powerful and still has provision for us, we're caring for them with his love and his care and in his way, and not in small ways but in extravagant ways. We're looking after the sick and the broken and the weary, because the people of God are still here, and they're still moved by the power of God, which is still real and still true and still relevant for this time today. Jesus has something for us. But not just a spiritual thing that we're supposed to sit on, but a practical movement that we're supposed to step into. I just want to encourage you to be a part of it. I'm going to pray quickly for us. As I do, I just want you to allow God, you're holding a card with you right now, I just want you to allow God to start to shape your heart towards that thing. Allow him to show you what you're meant to do, what he wants to make you able to do today. So Lord, would you just move our hearts? God, help us to recognize this isn't money we're talking about alone. This is the story that Northgate gets an opportunity to write about Jesus Christ in the Comox Valley. This is about what people are seeing. This is about how people recognize you, God. Help us to know how to be a part of that. Show us how we're meant to step into that, Lord. Show us how we're meant to stretch for that. Show us what we're meant to give up for that. Teach us, Lord. Lord, we recognize that throughout Scripture, there's basically no times where you're not moving the people towards the poor and disciplining them for not taking care of the poor. Help us to recognize that. Jesus, we love you. We believe this is your thing. This is your dream. You've brought it to our attention, Lord. You've stirred it up in us. Lord, thank you that already we have 60, 70, 80 volunteers who are serving on a monthly basis. Already we have up to 150 people who come and use this place. Already we have a reputation to serve the poor and try to take care of them. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us recognize that the tools in our hands are getting tired, they're getting worn out, they're getting weak, and yet you have everything we need to freshen up again, to get moving again, to become strengthened and revitalized again, to continue your work and speak the story of a Jesus that still lives to this Comox Valley. Help us with that, Lord. Help us move towards that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. These guys are going to come around and they're going to collect those pledge forms from you. We'd love to take those in from you. They'll tuck them away. We're going to celebrate what God is doing and what he's accomplishing. We'll try to let these guys get through here before we all stand up and scatter around. But thank you so much for taking part in this with us. This is an exciting season. We're dreaming big for this season. This is a season when we have to have faith to believe that God is going to move the mountains again, but we also get a chance to come together as a church, to be united, to dream for something together. And lastly, we get to tell the story of our Jesus who is still alive and still empowered and still has all provision that we need to carry out his mission for this Comox Valley, to love who he loves, to look after who he's looking after, to take care of those who are broken and lost and weary and tired and hungry and naked and unsheltered, that we get to look after those people. God loves them. He cares for them. Let's be the church that tells that story to the Comox Valley. Amen? Let's all stand up together. Come on. It's good. It is good to be here. You all have a great week this week. If you want more information, go grab one of these in the lobby. Or if you didn't get your pledge card in time, you can drop it off at the desk in the lobby. Let's believe for great things. We love you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.